The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on up ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a coat that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'What are you untying it for?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the coat, his owners came and asked them, 'Why are you untying the coat?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path near the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered them, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the heavens. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Please join me in reading the psalm in unison. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I have become a reproach to all my enemies and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am as useless as a broken pot. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me.
Thank you. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you not come into the time of trial."
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed,
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours will be done."
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of his grief, and he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
"Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?"
When those who were around Jesus saw what was coming, they asked,
"Lord, should we strike with a sword?"
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear, but Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And he touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour in the power of darkness."
Then the crowd seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said,
"This man also is with him."
But Peter denied it, saying, A little later, someone else, on seeing Peter, said, But Peter said, And about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
"Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"Man, I do not know what you are talking."
At that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said to him,
"Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
They kept heaping many other insults on Jesus. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought Jesus to their council. They said,
"If you are the Messiah."
Jesus replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked,
"Are you the Son of God?"
Jesus said to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further testimony do we need? We have heard ourselves from Moses."
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus, saying,
"We have this man who heard your mission. Permit us to pay taxes to your and say that he is the Son of the King."
Then Pilate asked Jesus,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation against you."
But they were insistent and said,
"He stirs up the people and teaches throughout all Judea. From Galilee to the end, he uses this voice."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, Pilate sent Jesus off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about Jesus and was hoping to see him perform some sign. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. Then Herod put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have abandoned him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to you. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and released."
Then they all shouted together, Barabbas was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
A third time, Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged.
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. Pilate released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' They will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but their leaders scoffed at him, saying, The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and asking, saying,
"If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself."
There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, but the other rebuked him, saying, Then he said,
"Truly, I tell you, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Jesus replied,
"Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
"Certainly this man was innocent.
when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all Jesus' acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph took the body down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandments.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Saturday night, I had to drive home from Orlando, Florida. I had dropped off Luke at a baseball camp. As you're leaving Orlando, there's construction, just like we have here in Jacksonville, perpetual construction. The highway went from four lanes down to three, eventually to two lanes, and finally down to one. I knew that I had a long drive ahead of me, and I knew that we were going to spring forward and I would lose an hour, and I was in a bad, bad mood. As we merged onto one lane, there was a young woman in a Toyota next to me, and I needed to get in front of her because I had to get home. So I just sped up to get in front of her, and she floored it. And she won, and then she gave me a nice little wave with her red fingernails. And I found myself getting so mad. So I decided I would turn on my brights. And she decided she would slow down to maybe 15 miles an hour for a good 5 or 10 minutes. Seemed like an eternity to me. People were honking and back, but that woman would not speed up. Finally, the construction lightened and I could pass her. And as I was driving around, well, let's just say she didn't wave that time. But so I'm going down the highway now, and I'm thinking to myself, what did I just do? I just basically took my life in my own hands because I think that I have the right to be in front of someone else to save what? A minute? What was going on in my head that I became so obsessed and self-absorbed that I forgot that it's better to be safe than to be right? I want to talk to you about that moment. That moment that happens to every single one of us, and it happens over and over and over again, from little things like what we do behind the steering wheel to decisions that can change our lives. That moment when we have a choice about whether we're going to do what is right or what is easy. About whether we're going to stand up for the truth and justice or just do what feels good. Pontius Pilate was a very smart man. And he was ambitious. Becoming governor of Judea was a step up for him, but it was not the last step. He had a goal. He didn't want to be in Jerusalem. He wanted to move higher up in government. That was the plan. And we know from some historical documents that when Pontius Pilate arrived in Jerusalem, he brought all these Roman banners and regalia that he liked to decorate his house and some of the streets. And the Jews, they hated that stuff. So some of the Jewish leaders wrote to Caesar and asked if Pontius Pilate could please take down all that stuff. And for whatever reason, to appease the people, Caesar told Pontius Pilate to take it down. And that made Pilate mad. Things became a power struggle between him and the Jews. I'm in charge, he thought. I'm in charge. I have the authority. But Pilate knew that to get his way, he had to play his cards right. After all, he was a politician, you know. You'd better believe that on the day that Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem, and everyone was waving palms and hailing him as the Messiah, you'd better believe that Pontius Pilate knew exactly what was going on. I bet it scared him. Here was a man who could lead a revolt. Here was a man who could really stir things up. He had to watch that man. But then, when just a few days had passed and Pilate finds Jesus bloodied and battered on his doorstep, I'm sure he was relieved. Oh, the man is nothing. Good. They've already turned on him. He's not going to lead a revolt. He doesn't mean anything. So Pilate decides to use Jesus as a pawn. You see, he didn't get along with Herod, but he knew he had to make that connection for his own good. So he sends Jesus over to Herod. Pilate must have known that Herod had always wanted to meet this man that people talked about so much, the man that people said could do miracles. So Pilate sends Jesus off to Herod as a gesture of goodwill. Here, you take him. And in the Gospel of John, it says that Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies from that day forward, they were friends. Because Pilate knew how to play his cards right. But Herod doesn't deal with Jesus. Instead, he brings him back to Pilate. And that, my friends, is when the moment happens. I can almost picture Pilate standing there. And he knows what is right. He knows the truth. He knows Jesus is innocent. He says it over and over again. This man has done nothing wrong. But he also sees that there is a mob now that has gathered. And you and I know that human beings, when we get in a crowd and we get riled up, we can do terrible things. Be very, very careful of that. So in that moment, it is Pilate who has the authority. He could have said no. He had the ability. But instead of doing what was right, he did what was easy. He said to himself, I don't want to cause a lot of trouble. It doesn't really matter anyway. I'm too tired. I wash my hands, let somebody else deal with it. I'm done. When I had a little church in South Carolina, a young woman came and spoke to me. She was suffering a lot and cutting herself. I got her to see a therapist. She told me about how she had been raped for many years by her uncle when she was a little girl. She started doing better and got a lot out of the therapy, and we kept on talking, and eventually I moved to another church, and I thought to myself, I should just write her a letter. I should just pick up the phone and call. And moment by moment, I had a decision to make between what I knew would be a good thing and what was easy. And I chose what was easy. Because she had a good therapist and she had a new priest. And this past year, she hung herself. She was all alone in her apartment. I'm not saying that was my fault, but I was one of many people who said, someone else will help her. It's too much trouble. I can't do everything. What can I do? It's too much. I'm done. I know you all, and I know that you're good people. I know almost every single one of you. And I know that you're never going to deliberately hurt another person. I know that you're not murderers, that you don't steal, that you're not criminals. But the greatest danger for you and for me is not that we're going to do some great act of violence. The greatest danger for us is apathy. Is that voice of Pontius Pilate inside of all of our heads that says, it's too much trouble. It's not my problem. Somebody else will do something about it. What can I do? What can you do? We're just little people. The problems of the world are so great. What can we do? Let me tell you something. Together, we can do everything. Everything. There is nothing that you cannot do even if it's just a little thing. There is never a time when it's right to say, I'm not going to be troubled. This is our world. These are our problems. These are our joys. God has given us the ability to change the world if only we had the courage to do something. So next time you're faced with that moment between choosing what is right, between telling the truth, making people mad maybe for the right thing, for the right cause, or doing what is easy, what is comfortable, what feels good. Remember Pontius Pilate. Remember that by taking the easy way out, he went down in the annals of history as the one under whom Christ was crucified. All because he said, it's too much trouble. I can't be bothered. I'm done. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to St. John's Cathedral. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up high so they can find you, and keep it up until the gift comes. We're so glad you're here. Welcome. Keep those hands up. Today is called Palm Sunday, and I want to give a round of applause to our Sanctuary Guild. Look what they did to this sanctuary. Isn't it beautiful? There are also two women sitting up here who sometimes come here and sometimes go to St. Mary's Mission. Yesterday, we had to make some 700 palm crosses, and when they arrived, they realized no one else had arrived to help them. So they called in some women from St. Mary's, and they spent hours all day. Would you two please stand up? This week marks the holiest season of the church year, which is why it's called Holy Week. I encourage you to walk with Jesus through these holy days. I'm not going to go through all of the details because everything is written in your bulletins. But please remember that on these evenings of Holy Week, particularly Wednesday, Thursday, Good Friday, we have services of all kinds, and I find that when you walk with Jesus through his passion, the risen Lord speaks to you with a louder voice, so I encourage you to attend. Remember that Easter Sunday services begin at 6 o'clock as the sun is rising. That is our most ancient service where we will baptize. And then we have services at 9 o'clock and 11:15 and Easter egg hunts and flowering the cross and all kinds of things. I'd also like to say thank you to Fouad and Karim and to Miss Helen Lane. Today we are satellite streaming live this worship service onto the internet, and we will be able to do that from this Sunday forward so that all people who cannot come to church can be with us online. Thank you so much. Remember how much Jesus loves you, that he was willing to die for you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and singing. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. Now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Remember, when that moment comes to you and you have a decision to make between what is right and what is easy, that you will choose to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Amen.